I want to invite you to turn with me to John's Gospel, to John chapter 12. We're going to read from verse 1. Just down to verse 8. Let's hear the word of God. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Amen. May God bless us, the reading of his word. The children can head out to their program now. Can I just encourage you to keep praying for the children? I think one of the experiences I have of going out and doing PW services is that you can go to churches where maybe you have about 2 children up for a children's address. Some churches, none. And to think how God has blessed us with not only having the well and taunt zone and the creche in the morning time, but having a group at night time, which is well attended by children. So we are a very blessed church. So please do pray for that work. It's important that we pray for the children and pray for those involved. PW services, for some of you, it might be your worst nightmare. For me, sometimes, yes, it is my worst nightmare, trying to find some churches that are out in the back of beyond. But this year's theme has been beautiful. They take a different theme each year, and that's the theme that we've been just finished off in the last few weeks. And as I've been reading through that, this is one of the passages that I've been using, and one of the other readings on this where Jesus speaks about Mary. He said what she did to me was a beautiful thing. And we get caught so much in what Mary was doing that in this passage, right at the top of it, are 2 words that actually express something that's incredible that's going on behind the scenes. And it's the words, Martha served. And it really struck me when I read that, because I don't know about you, but my image of Martha is one who was very reluctant at serving. And so over the last lot of weeks, I've been delving more into the life of Martha and how God worked in and through her life, not just hers, but Mary and also Lazarus. I'm the younger of 3. I've 2 older brothers. David's my eldest brother, then Ian and myself. And there's 3.5 years between each of us. The 3 of us are quite different at times in personality. All 3 of us are Christians. All 3 of us are involved in a church, obviously myself here. Ian's in Woodlands in Carrickfergus. And David goes to an independent church in Newton Ards. God works with each one of us in a very different way. Over the years, he has used different things to teach us and different ways to teach us. How he works with me is very different from how he works with Ian. I would probably be the Martha in our family. I'm the one that's, right, let's get this done. Ian would be very much, let's think about this first. And David would be very much, I don't care. Just somebody sort it. We're each of us different. And the lovely thing here tonight is that not only does God know that each, myself and my brothers, are different and how to work with each one of us, but it's the same for every single one of us here tonight. That God knows you as an individual. He knows every detail of your life. He knows those things that encourage you and those things that will drag you down. He knows those different ways that he needs to work with you in order to change you. So what he does with me is different for me. And so for me, in the early days, it was the challenges of being in the police. It was the challenges of seeing evil at its very worst. Working in North Belfast, murders every couple of weeks, shootings every day, if not more than that. And so I had to work through, where is a loving God in the midst of this? Ian's academic. Ian studied all of his days, and God has taught him in and through all of that. And David is different again. David can go for a while and really take on board things that are being said and then drift for a bit and then come back again. Very different. And so as we look at Martha and we look at Mary and we look at Lazarus, we're going to see how God, in Martha's case, had a particular way that he worked with her. And I hope that by the end of tonight, that as we leave here, we'll see that Martha isn't the one story that we know of her. She was a woman who, I suppose in many circles, and a lot of the writers would say, got a bad press because of the very first time that she's mentioned in Scripture. And for many of us, that's probably the only part of her story that we know. So hopefully as we move through it tonight, you will begin to see that, hey, actually Martha's not that bad after all. And that if you're described as being a Martha, actually you can say, well, I'm not that bad after all. Because we're going to see how God shaped and molded and changed her. I want to ask you to turn with me over to Luke's Gospel, over to Luke chapter 10. We're just going to read from verse 38. And this is probably the story that we all know really well about Martha. It's the one that most of us are familiar with. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and she asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. We're going to finish just at that wee bit. Here's the story of Jesus coming into Bethany, and he's invited into this home. She invites him in. We're not told whether all of the disciples come to her, whether it's just Jesus, so we're not sure. So it could be possibly that she's trying to sort out a meal for 14 or 15 people. Now, you'll know how domesticated I am, so this would be my worst nightmare. Barbara, you're going to share this with me too. And so that for me would be awful. But Martha is at work here, and she's starting to get the work done. Now, in my understanding previously of this would have been very much that she was just out in the kitchen area. She's working away, And she realizes that she's the only one there. Where's our Mary? What's she doing? Why am I struggling to get all this work done? Where is she? And going to the open bit and looking in, and there's Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, just staring up at him, just listening to every word that's saying. And maybe trying to look in and catch Mary's eye. Doing things to try and draw Mary out to say, here, there's work to be done here. I need you out here. And it seems as if that goes on for Martha until she can take it no more. And she has this confrontation nearly with Jesus. That's how I used to think about it. But then I listened to that little word where it says, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. The word distracted in the Greek means to be drawn away. Drawn away. And so maybe the impression is more that Martha really wanted to be in listening to Jesus. As a good hostess, and that was important to her culture, that's what would have been most important for her, to look after your guest, your honored guest, to make sure that he gets the very best, is treated in the very best way, that somebody's talking with him and looking after him and greeting him. But you've got these preparations to do. And being distracted, being drawn away from being able to be in the presence of Jesus, being drawn away to these preparations. The preparations became more important than listening to Jesus. Life around her became more important than hearing what Jesus had to say. And it's not true for us, if we're really honest. What Martha was doing, part of what Martha was doing was right. It was preparing a meal for Jesus and these guests who had been invited into the house. But she was drawn away from what was important. And you and I, in our work, in our lives, in the busyness of everything, can get drawn away from God. Drawn away from listening to him. Drawn away from taking time to be with him. The things that we're maybe involved on are not wrong. But being drawn away from him, we're missing out in listening to him and being in his presence. Jesus says to her in this little passage, she asked him, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Lord, don't you care? I wonder if we've ever said that to God. Lord, don't you care what's happening in my family? Lord, don't you care about this illness? Don't you care about me having enough money here, Lord? Don't you care? And a previous time that this phrase was used was by the disciples out in the boat with Jesus. It's in Matthew's gospel. And you remember they're going across the lake and a storm comes up. And Jesus is lying, sleeping in the boat. And the disciples come and say to him, Lord, don't you care? We're going to drown here. We're going to be swamped here. Don't you care? And really, this is what Martha is saying to Jesus. Lord, don't you care? I am being swamped by all of this work. There's too much for me. I can't cope with it. Don't you care? Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. You're worried and upset about many things. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. One thing is needed. The Jewish Bible actually says one thing is essential. One thing is needed. Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing you need to think about. And that one thing is what Mary is doing. Martha, you need to lay aside all these worries and these upsets and do this one thing. Step away from those and come and sit with me. Sit with me. Listen to me. Talk with me. Tell me what's going on in your life. Share with me. Allow me to share with you. Martha, one thing I'm asking you to do. Come to me. Be with me. Sit with me. Stay with me. That's what Mary's doing. And it's not going to be taken away from her. She will always have that. Everything that she's heard tonight, she's storing it away, and she will remember it, and she will use it. Martha, one thing. I believe that night that God really started to change Martha, to change her in incredible ways. I believe that she went away actually, or stayed there as Jesus went away, thinking about what he had said. Really taking on board the changes that he was suggesting to her. Let me invite you to turn over to John chapter 11. The next time that Martha is mentioned in Scripture is in this passage in John. Three times in Scripture she's mentioned. Our passage that we read there in Luke's Gospel, and then twice here in John's Gospel. In this occasion, right at the start, we're told now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same who had poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to the Lord, to Jesus, "Lord, the one who you love is sick." When difficulties came, Martha and Mary turned to Jesus. When you read about these two sisters, every time you read about Mary, Mary's at Jesus' feet. The first time is in that passage we just read where she sat at his feet. The second time is in this passage where she'll come and she'll fall at his feet. And the third one is that passage that we read earlier on where she came and she anointed his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. That's where you find Mary, at the feet of Jesus. Martha, when you read about Martha each time, it's this face-to-face meeting with Jesus. She has these constant dialogues, that one in Luke, and she's going to have another one here in this John 11 Gospel. She's going to speak to Jesus clearly about how she's feeling, what's going on with her, and she's going to listen this time to all that he is saying. From verse 17, let me read this to you. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and then many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and he's asking for you. And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. And when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he open the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb, and it was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take the stone away, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. And Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. What an amazing story. They've sent for Jesus, and before he even reaches the village, Martha's on her way out to meet him, getting ready for that meeting along with him. In the Jewish culture, Lazarus would have been buried within a day of his death. The furniture in the house would have been turned to face the walls, and they would have sat, Martha and Mary would have been sitting on small stools in the house, waiting and mourning together. So she goes and she meets Jesus in this face-to-face conversation. Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But even now, I know God will give you whatever you ask. And isn't it interesting that when Mary comes, Mary says almost the same thing. Mary says to him, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Mary stops there. Mary, the one who we often think of being more spiritual. And yet Martha is the one who says, but I know even now, God. I know God will give you whatever you ask. She is confident that Jesus, in this one encounter that she's previously had, that there's something different about him. That he is someone who can do something in this situation. And she trusts him. She totally trusts him. And they begin this dialect back and forward where Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. And Jesus is meaning today. And Martha replies, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I know what the teaching is. I know that's going to happen in the future. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Martha, do you believe I am who I say I am? Do you believe that I am the resurrection? I am who I am. And she comes straight back him. Yes, Lord. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Who do you say that he is tonight? Who do you believe him to be? Do you believe him to be the Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe him to be your Savior? Do you believe him to be your provider? Do you believe him to be your God who will never leave you or forsake you? Do you believe tonight? Because Martha, in her reply to Jesus, is emphatic. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Jesus wanted to move her in her faith, take her deeper than she had ever gone before. He wanted her to see who he was, to believe who he was, and to trust him. And he wanted now then to see her faith in action. And it happens in two ways. One is she goes straight to Mary. And she says, Mary, the teacher is here. He's asking for you. And Mary knew him as teacher. She knew him as Lord, but she knew him as teacher. And she comes immediately to where Jesus is. And what I find fascinating was that Jesus hadn't come into the village. Even though he knew that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days, he stays where he is. He doesn't move until Mary and Martha are both there. And then he says, show me where he is. Let's go to him. And so they move to where the tomb is. And Martha's faith is going to be pushed again as Jesus says, take the stone away. And Martha straight off says, Lord, he's been in the tomb. He's been dead for 4 days. This is going to stink. Now, there was a teaching by one of the rabbis that said that for 3 days that the spirit of a person would hover around the tomb in chance that it might return into it. And so John says, this body's been in here 4 days. There was no doubt that Lazarus was dead. And so the instruction is given. And the stone is moved, and as Jesus then calls out Lazarus' name, and he gets up and he comes out of the tomb. We're not told at all how Lazarus reacts, other than the fact that he comes out wearing the cloth around him and over his face. We're not told how Mary reacts, how Martha reacts. The only things that we're told is that there are those who came to faith who came to believe because of what they witnessed. We're not told of anything to do with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, the impact on them, until we get into the next chapter, into chapter 12, this passage that we read earlier on. And we're told there that 6 days before Passover, Jesus has arrived, and there's going to be a dinner in Jesus' honor. Can you imagine what the scene must have been like in that house that night? It must have been absolutely incredible. Jesus is there with his 12 disciples. Lazarus is sitting beside him. Martha is serving. Mary's about somewhere. She doesn't seem to be in the picture at the very start. Can you imagine the conversations that were going on? We're told in one of the other Gospels that the whole meal is held in the home of Simon the leper. So he was obviously, Simon as a leper had to be somebody who had already been healed by Jesus. So they're in his home. And I'm sure the conversation was going, did you see what happened? You know, isn't this incredible? Did we ever think we were going to get our brother back? Did we ever imagine that he would be here with us tonight? And people talking over the top of one another about what had happened, what they had saw, what they experienced, what had gone on. And here in the back of this is these two words, Martha served. Compare that to that first passage in Luke, when Martha is so caught up in wanting to be in Jesus' presence and wanting to do the preparations and all of those things, it simply says Martha served. Martha wants to say thank you to Jesus. Thank you because he is her Lord and her Savior, and that's the purpose of her service now. That's what she lives for each and every day. She lives for him now. He is first and foremost in her life, in all things. And in doing this meal, is to give honor to him. You and I serve God. We serve him because we love him. Martha served him because she loved him. And out in the midst of all of this comes Mary with this little jar of oil. And as she breaks it open, the whole house was filled with that smell of this expensive perfume. They have gone from what was the stench of death at a tomb to the aroma of Christ in the house. Martha is a changed woman. She's never spoken of, neither of them are, all three of them are not spoken of again in Scripture. We can either see her just as the woman that we met first of all in Luke's Gospel, or we can see her as the woman that God was changing. And there was a process through it all. And maybe tonight, as you've thought about Martha and all the things she was involved in, maybe like myself, as I have done over the last few days, been thinking just about the changes that I need to make in my life to be able to take time to listen to God. Martha had to be honest with herself and honest with God where she was at. She needed to get close to him. She actually went looking for him at that time outside the village. She told him her hurts and her pains. She listened as he told her who he was and asked her to believe that he was who he said he was. And then she confessed. You, Lord, are the Christ, the Son of God, who's coming into the world. And maybe tonight, for some of us, it's time that we got real with God. Whether we have never followed him, or whether we have been following him from a distance, or whether we have just been dipping in and out as we have felt we've got the time to do. Maybe tonight it's time to get real, and some of us need to take that step as God challenges you. Do you believe that I am the Christ, the Son of God? And will you accept me as your Lord and Savior? Maybe tonight you've realized that life has been hard, it's been tough. And in the midst of the busyness, that God has got squeezed out. He's been pushed to the side because just don't have the time. Too many other things to do. Which really, if we examine them, are really maybe not as important as we think they are. Maybe tonight's the night that you need to take time just to draw near to him and to sit with him. The ministry song is a piece by Lauren Daigle entitled "I Am Who You Say I Am." The words of it express that it doesn't matter what the world says about us. The most important thing is what God says about us. And the truth was, Jesus loved Martha. He loved her from that first encounter. He loved her before that first encounter. He loved watching her change. And he loved her that night as he sat with the others as she served. Believe it tonight that he loves you, that he's passionate about you, and he's passionate to see you in a relationship with him. Let's pray together. Father, still us tonight to sit at your feet. Challenge us to know you as Lord and Savior.